Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church. We're glad you're with us from wherever you are joining with us this morning. You may notice we're back in the sanctuary for filming this week. We're grateful for the hard work of those who cleaned and tuned our organ and those who cleaned and sealed and made sure that we would have as little dust continue to fall as possible inside of the organ chamber rooms, allowing us to be able to keep those spaces clean and also allowing us to take care of two projects and make one project vastly easier at the same time. And so we give thanks for that and for our musical instrument of the organ being in tip-top shape whenever we gather again in worship. A couple other announcements this morning. First, next Sunday, July 26th, from 12 until 2, I will be here for drive-through communion. So the way that this will work is that most of, but not all, of our communion liturgy will be part of our online service. But the actual blessing of the communion elements will not happen until you drive through our parking lot. We ask that you enter off of Center Road, come through the parking lot, and then I will be under a tent here on Grace Street to give you prepackaged elements. It is a wafer and juice container all in one, so that you know that it's safe and I know that it's safe and we don't worry about spilling juice on anybody. And I will give those for every person in the car that desires communion. At that time, I will then bless the elements and allow you to partake then of communion. So I'll be here from 12 until 2. So please come if you so desire and feel called and led to partake in the sacraments. But I do ask that if possible, you participate in our online worship service to get the front end of the communion liturgy. Please know we have lots of options for streaming as well as calling in. If you need the call-in information because you don't have technology to be watching this right now, let us know and we'll get that to you. Also a reminder, Bible study and weekly meals both continue Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Bible study on Tuesday, meal distribution on Wednesday. If you need information, please contact our office. Now, let us take a moment and pause and center ourselves for our time of worship. Thank you.
Please join me in the call to worship. Some boast of their motor cars and some of their mansions, but we boast of the name of the Lord of hosts.
Should all else collapse in a heap, we shall stand up tall.
Do not be impressed by the outward appearance of a person, for God does not see like we do, but looks into the heart.
If anyone travels with Christ, there is a new creation. Old things are obsolete, all things become new.
Let us worship this God who looks into the human heart and through Christ Jesus makes all things new.
Prayers for our friend Sammy, who many of you know through your interactions at church. We received word today that he passed away suddenly, and we want to hold him and all who knew and loved him in our prayers and our thoughts during this time, and know that his legacy and his love will be something that live on, and so we lift up prayers for him. Now, as we gather for our time of prayer, let us begin by offering up our unison prayer. God, give me the courage to be revolutionary as your Son, Jesus Christ, was. Give me the courage to loosen myself from this world. Teach me to stand up free and to shun no criticism. God, it is for your kingdom. Make me free. Make me poor in this world. Then I will be rich in the real world, which is what life is all about. God, thank you for the vision of the future, but make it fact and not just theory. Amen. Let us now engage in a time of silent prayers of our hearts, our minds, and our souls as we listen to music and lift up prayers to the Lord. Thank you. Lord, we gather this day in your presence wherever we find ourselves. We come before you in the midst of these times in which all things seem uncertain and fraught with strife. And we ask that you would be present in our lives. Lord, we lift up to you much of our hearts, our minds, and our souls. But we also lift up to you those who we name in our hearts and those who we name now. We ask for prayers for Jim Powers, for Stevie Ball, for Ruth, for those who are struggling with COVID-19. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray for those who do not heed wisdom, and we pray for those who think only of themselves. In all that we do, we ask that you would help us keep you center in our lives, and that we would use the wisdom that you have granted to us to truly build a better world here among ourselves. And so as we prepare to pray these words, we ask that they would be more than something we just repeat, but that they would be something that we truly embody. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.
Hey kids, good morning. Hope you're having a good Sunday. Hope things are going well. I didn't get any special shout outs this week, so we'll just get right into our children's moment. Today, we're going to learn about Queen Vashti and some cool stuff that she did that set the stage for Esther, who is the person the book of the Bible is named after. But one of the things about Queen Vashti that's important that I want to talk to you kids about is the importance of having a good foundation. Queen Vashti sets a really good foundation for Esther later on. So I'm in my garden today to kind of talk about the importance of a good foundation. So, these are my green bell pepper plants, and I don't know if you can see, this leaf might be in the way, but there's a green bell pepper in here, right there. I think you can see that. And I've got one over here, right there. Some stuff's growing, and I even start to have some tomatoes. So I've got all these cool plants growing that are producing food and fruit for us to eat. But one of the things about that we have to remember is that none of this would be possible without a good foundation. So when I'm looking at them really close, it might just kind of seem like, hey, he's got a garden. But we have to keep in mind the importance of the foundation that allows the garden to exist. So to do that, we kind of have to do what we have to do with Queen Vashti, which is take a step back and look at the bigger picture and look at what happens afterwards because of her. So in that spirit, what I'll do is I'll step back. And then if we look at the whole garden, do you see how it has a really big foundation underneath it? When I built it, I made sure it was tall off the ground so the deer couldn't get to it, but also so that it had lots of dirt, because that dirt allows it to grow really good plants. And so my garden is kind of like Queen Vashti. It started off just a foundation. But because of that, amazing things were able to grow and take shape. Just like how we, if we have a good foundation in our life, will have more opportunities to grow and take shape. And sometimes it's a person that creates that good foundation for us. Sometimes it's just a feeling that we get. And sometimes it's the love of God that creates a good foundation for us. And so that's our children's moment for today, is that sometimes we have to remember our good foundations we need to have before we can start our growth and learning. So let's get back to the rest of our worship service and have a great Sunday.
Our first lesson this morning is taken from Esther, and it's from the Common English Bible. And it's chapter 1, verses 1 through 12. This is what happened back when Assyrius lived. The very Assyrius who ruled from India to Kush. 127 provinces in all. At that time, Assyrius ruled the kingdom from his royal throne in the fortified part of Susa. In the third year of his rule, he hosted a feast for all his officials and couriers. The leaders of Persia and Media attended, along with his provincial officials and officers. He showed off his awesome riches of his kingdom and beautiful treasures as mirrors of how very great he was. The event lasted a long time, 6 whole months, to be exact. After that, the king held a 7-day feast for everyone in the fortified part of Susa, whether they were important people in the town or not. They all met in the walled garden of the royal palace. White linen curtains and purple hangings were held up by shining white and red-purple ropes tied with silver rings and marble posts. Gold and silver couches sat on a mosaic floor made of gleaming purple crystal, marble, and mother-of-pearl. They served the drinks in cups made of gold, and each cup was different. The king made sure there was plenty of royal wine. The rule about the drinks was no limits. The king had ordered everyone serving wine in the palace to offer as much as each guest wanted. At the same time, Queen Vashti held a feast for women in King Assyrius' palace. On the 7th day, when the wine had put the king in high spirits, he gave an order to Meham, Bishja, Harbona, Bitha, Agitha, Zatar, and Sarkis, the 7 eunuchs who served King Assyrius personally. They were to bring Queen Ashiti before him wearing the royal crown. She was gorgeous, and he wanted to show off her beauty both to the general public and to his important guests. But Queen Vashti refused to come as the king had ordered through the eunuchs. The king was furious, his anger boiling inside.
Our second lesson for today is taken from the book of Esther, chapter 1, verses 13 through 22. Now, when a need arose, the king would often talk with certain very smart people about the best way to handle it. They were people who knew both the kingdom's written laws and what judges had decided about cases in the past. The ones he talked with most often were Karsena, Shethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Meres, Marsina, and Mecumenan. They were 7 very important people in Persia and Media who, as the kingdom's highest leaders, were in the king's inner circle. So the king said to them, "According to the law, what should I do with Queen Vashti, since she didn't do what King Ahasuerus ordered her through the eunuchs?" Then Memucan spoke up in front of the king and the officials. "Queen Vashti," he said, "has done something wrong not just to the king himself. She has also done wrong to all the officials and the peoples in all the provinces of King Assyrius. This is the reason. News of what the queen did will reach all women, making them look down on their husbands. They will say, 'King Assyrius ordered servants to bring Queen Vashti before him, but she refused to come.' This very day, the important women of Persia and Media who hear about the queen will tell the royal officials the same thing. There will be no end of put-downs and arguments. Now, if the king wishes, let him send out a royal order and have it written into the laws of Persia and Media, laws no one can ever change. It should say that Vashti will never again come before King Assyrius, It should also say that the king will give her royal place to someone better than she. When the order becomes public through the whole empire, vast as it is, all women will treat their husbands properly. The rules should touch everyone, whether from an important family or not. The king liked the plan, as did the other men, and he did just what Memucan said. He sent written orders to all the king's provinces, and each province received it written in its own alphabet, and each people received in its own language. It said that each husband should rule over his own house. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Now we begin today a sermon series on Esther. And yet, we have not mentioned Esther. We have heard instead about Esther's predecessor as queen, Queen Vashti. Now, this story is one that could be looked upon and ignored, looked upon and derided, looked upon and lambasted, but I think we must look upon it and hear it and take away the wisdom within it. And the wisdom is this: Vashti leaves a powerful legacy. She says that she will not be made into a mere item. She will not be reduced to a thing. She will be one worthy of all human dignity. For this, the king and his other leaders conspire, and she is removed from her power and thrown out of the kingdom, no longer queen. And yet, I wonder what her life would have been like had she capitulated to the king's desire. We must recognize always that we, as individuals, have some level of power. Now, there are times when we have certain decisions removed from our ability to make, and there are times when we are able to make certain decisions for ourselves. And some of us have more options than others due to levels of privilege and other factors in our lives. But at the base level, there are certain rights that we and decisions we all have and that are imbued upon us as human beings of the earth. The king sought to use the queen as any other object under his control, something to be paraded for all to see with no regard for worth, self-esteem, or compassion. And the queen says that this is not how it will be. And this causes the men to fear because they worry that the way they understand the world will be turned upside down, that women will suddenly have this crazy idea that they are better than their husbands. An outdated concept that does not function then or now. This is nothing of what marriage should be like, something that is to be an equal partnership, not an unequal ownership. In marriage, we are to work together. In marriage, we are to be equals. And yet the king just wants a thing, an object to possess. In standing up for herself, Queen Vashti creates a powerful legacy. Because even if the king writes into law, this is what should be, we all know that it cannot take away the story of what the queen did and how she stood up for herself. Her legacy cannot be undone by one law made by the king. And the awakening that she would give, and that she did give, to the importance of human and civil rights cannot be stripped away. This is a prime example of how a law can be legal, but that does not make it moral or right. Her legacy is one of standing up for what is right, even in face of potential loss, hardship, and persecution. This is a legacy that she is setting and that will cast a shadow and will set the stage for the woman whom this book of the Bible is named after. Queen Vashti establishes such a platform of advocacy in this moment that the stage is then set for the one who would come after her, whom God will use to save the Israelites who are living in this land. And yet, I wonder what would have happened without this stand. The Lord works in mysterious ways is something we often hear. And this is yet another example of this. With Queen Vashti's stand, the door is open for God to continue to do good in the world. I wonder what good was done because of this. What relationships were changed? What unhealthy relationships were broken off because of Queen Vashti's stand, regardless of what law the king may or may not have made? The legacy of Queen Vashti lives on even into today, challenging us by saying, what do we need to stand up for? How do we advocate even in the face of things that may be unjust and immoral, though they may be legal? We must ask ourselves, how can we be an example to others of what it means to be faithful and strong? We should be a people who are in touch with God, who are discerning actively every day the will of God, and who are putting love of neighbor in front of love of self. Lately, there has been a lot of debate around masks, and should we or should we not wear them? And often one of the arguments is, it's my freedom to not have to wear a mask. You can't take that away from me. But this argument forgets a simple truth. I am not wearing a mask at the moment for myself, because I'm the only one in here while I'm recording this. I wear a mask to protect others in case that I have something. So too do others wear masks to protect me. So when we engage and say, I don't want to wear a mask because I don't want to think I should have to, it's not ourselves that we are harming, it is those who are wearing masks while we don't. Those who aren't wearing masks and we don't. Those we may never meet who become victims of potential spread. Queen Vashti's legacy is one of saying, I stand up in the face of hardship for what is right. I stand up and challenge and remember that care of self and care of neighbor and care of all is essential, and that no one should be simply an object to be paraded around for all the world to see as though they have no humanity. As Christians, we often talk about the importance of being prayerful and being grounded in God and seeking to avoid falling into traps of sin and seeking to avoid not becoming better and seeking to avoid not following Christ through our actions. And yet often I think we forget that it is sometimes small things that set the stage for big things. How many things lead up to Queen Vashti's decision not to go before the king? We do not know, and we are not told. And how many small things may transpire after her big action? We do not know. We do know, and we will learn in the coming weeks about Esther, someone who takes the place of the queen and becomes the new queen, and someone who will have to make her own stand for what is right, even at potential risk to her own station and life. But we must recognize that the actions of Vashti do not exist in a vacuum, but they echo forward in time, setting a stage not only for Esther, but for all of us now to learn from her example. So may we be a people who lean into a powerful legacy set down for us of standing up for what is right against that which so clearly is wrong. May we be those in these coming weeks as we dig into this book, and in these coming years as we journey in our faith, who say, I am a person of hope, and I carry the light of hope wherever I go in the world, that the world would be made a little bit brighter by my presence in it. Because the light of God is within you and me and everyone else that we meet. And our job is to make sure that we do not extinguish and dim the light of God in another person, but that we protect and help grow the light of God in another. Because we are fearfully and wonderfully made by the Lord, each and every one of us, whether we like each other or not. And so we should stand up for everyone, just as we would hope that everyone would stand up for us, so that never again does someone have to face a Queen Vashti moment, but that we would be working to learn from the example and to create a truly better world. Amen. Now let us join in our next hymn, Be Thou My... And as I say every week, I recognize that we cannot be here to share them together and to place them upon the altar. And yet we can continue to offer ourselves up and to be a people of generosity each and every day. So may we now take this time to engage in silent offering of our hearts, our minds, our souls, and our gifts to the Lord. Would you join with me in our doxology?
Praise praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, even heroes. Praise for the Son and Holy Ghost.
And now let us join in our unison prayer. Help us to trust in you, O Lord, to hold fast to your teaching and guidance. Grant us the wisdom to be true disciples in a world full of options. Help us to be more fully your disciples in all aspects of our lives. May we live generously. Amen. As you prepare to go back out into this world, may you know and may you have the courage to live into the legacy of Queen Vashti. May you be one who stands up, whether it be something that seems insignificant or a moment that seems pivotal. May you have the courage and the strength and the knowledge that God is with you and within you in all of those circumstances and wherever you find yourself. May you have the drive and the knowledge that you are a person of hope, a person and carrier of the light of God into the world, into others, and everywhere that you go. Let us join in our benediction response.